So we want to talk in this session, this series of sessions, about hearing God in our daily lives. Hearing God speak to our hearts and how, what that's all about. Now, the way I'm going to approach this, some of you have done this for years, and I understand that, and that's fine. What I'm wanting to do is to help provide a way where you can help other people. And so if you've been involved in this for a long time, then there's some help there for how you can share with others. If this is fairly new for you, that's fine. Just join in with us. And there's going to be activities that we do after we finish. And then I give you homework every week. And so it's not hard, but I do have homework for you because we want you to develop in this area. Now then, today we're going to be starting with, can we really hear from God? Is there really a reality to that? What's the motive for it? And then what are some blocks to receiving God speaking to our hearts? Next week, we're going to be talking about the different voices that we can hear inside and how we discern between what is us and what is God and what is the evil one. We'll do that really for 2 weeks that we'll talk about that. And then the last week, the fourth week, we'll talk about how to grow strong in hearing from God so that you can know in the moment a surety that this is God speaking to you. And I think that's important for us to know, and that's something you can develop and grow in, and we'll talk about some helps to that and some hindrances that keep us from being able to hear God clearly. So that's what we're going to be doing. So today we're starting off with, can we hear from God? And I just like to say, I think that that's very clear that we can hear from God. God speaks to people on a regular basis. If you read in the Scriptures, it's happened a lot. But God speaks to people. Let me just share with you a couple of things. First of all, in the Old Testament, God spoke and elements came into existence. Right? I mean, when God spoke, the world came into existence. All the things that He created came around. And it happened because of God's power in speaking. So God speaks. He's a God who speaks. Not only that, there are these animals in the story about Noah. You remember that story? How God was going to destroy the world because of the sinfulness of all the people? In fact, God said that their hearts were only upon evil continually. And I think to be that bad, you've got to have some help. Jesus looked at the rulers of His day and said, "You being evil know how to give good gifts to your children." So there was even good and evil people in their day. These other people, their thoughts were only upon evil continually. So God, the way He handled that was He destroyed the world. But it's interesting that He protected Noah and animals. You remember that? How many sets of animals went up on the ark? Well, one set. Right? Two animals. Except for the clean animals that were used for sacrifices. How many of those went up? Seven. And there's an interesting statement that happens. I'm going to read it to you. It's from Genesis chapter 6 and verse 7 down to verse 9. And it says this, "And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, creeping things, birds of the air, for I'm sorry I've made them. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord." And then it goes down talking about how God began to work, and God, there came this day when God was going to close the ark. And chapter 7 says this, "And Noah was 600 years old when the flood water was on the earth. And so Noah with his sons and his wife and his sons' wives went into the ark of the water, went into the ark because of the waters of the flood. Of clean beasts, of beasts that were unclean, of birds and every creeping thing of the earth, two by two, they went to the ark to Noah." You know where Noah was? Noah's on the ark. I mean, I don't know how you pictured it. I mean, like a cattle drive, you know, where he's getting all these animals in. In fact, in movies, that's how they sort of have it. But the Scripture says Noah was on the ark, and all the animals came to him. How'd they do that? We're talking about wild animals. You know what happened? God spoke to them. And they obeyed. And they went. There's this interesting passage in 2 Corinthians 7:14. You know the passage. "If my people," can you finish up? "Will call by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face, turn from the wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven, forgive their sin, and heal their land." You know that passage? Well, verse 13, which is right before it, God talks about if the people don't walk His way, then there will be problems that will come into their lives. And in 2 Chronicles 7, verse 13, listen to the word. 2 Chronicles 7, verse 13 says this, "When I shut up heaven and there is no rain, or command locusts to devour the land." Do you understand that insects can hear God and do what God says? I mean, I don't have trouble. If elements can, if animals can, if insects can, people can. God is a God who speaks. Let's just look at some of the people who God spoke to in the Old Testament. Adam and Eve, God spoke to them. Remember that in the garden? After they sinned, did He speak to them? Yeah, I mean, you say, well, they were perfect, yeah, but then they blew it, and God still spoke to them. Cain, you remember him? What's he famous for doing? Killing his brother. And God spoke to him before and after that event. God speaks, people hear. Noah, we just talked about him. God spoke and told him to build the ark. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob all heard God speak in their lives. And God told them about the commission that He had for their family. King Abimelech is not even a believer. He's a guy who's not even a believer. And God speaks to him when Sarah gets passed off as Abraham's half-sister. Remember that? And He takes her into His harem. And everybody gets sick. And God spoke to him and said, hey, the woman you took is another man's wife. He said, I didn't know. And God said, I know. That's why I'm talking to you right now. Getting back. And so God spoke to this man who wasn't even a believer. God speaks, people can hear. He spoke to Joseph in what? Dreams. He spoke to Moses and Aaron. Moses through the burning bush. He spoke to Aaron many times. In fact, it says in the Scriptures that God spoke to Moses even face to face. Joshua, He spoke to him. You remember, he's getting ready to go into Jericho? And God told him the way, gave him the battle plans. He spoke to Deborah. He spoke to Gideon. He spoke to Samson's parents. You can say, well, yeah, they're all special people. Samson's parents, I mean, they don't have this major role that they play except giving birth to Samson. Samuel, God spoke to him. Remember when he was a little boy? God spoke to David. God spoke to Solomon. God spoke to Gad, Nathan, Elijah, and Elisha, prophets that were around during the times of the kings. He spoke to Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Daniel, Hosea, Joel, Amos, Obadiah, Jonah, Micah, Nahum, Habakkuk, Zephaniah, Haggai, Zechariah, and Malachi. God speaks, and a lot of people in the Old Testament heard God speak. Do you understand that? As you read through the book, you get the idea that God speaks to people. And people say, yeah, but that was in the Old Testament times. Okay, let's go to the New Testament. In the New Testament, we start off with Zacharias hearing a message from God as God sends an angel. We have Mary and Joseph both hearing from God, again, through an angel. We have Peter hearing from God in a special way on the Mount of Transfiguration, along with James and John. We have, and Peter hears from God. You remember the vision that he had when he's in Joppa, and he finds out that God's opening up Christianity to the Gentiles, not just the Jews. Philip heard God's voice during a time when there was a major revival taking place, and God said, "Leave here, and the great revival that's happening, go out into the wilderness." Philip listened. And you remember what happened? An Ethiopian eunuch was there. He happened to see him. God said, go run up to him. So he ran up to him. The guy's reading from the book of Isaiah, chapter 53. And Philip just says, you understand what you're reading? He said, how can I? And through that encounter, following what God said, following God's voice, Philip goes in and he opens up Africa to the gospel of Jesus Christ. Because this man was a high official in the government who was a God-fearer, had come to Jerusalem, had gotten the parchment of Isaiah, and Philip leads him to the Lord, baptizes him. Saul, whose name's later Paul, did hear from the Lord? In that bright light that knocked him off the horse. Ananias heard. Remember Ananias? I mean, he's sitting in his house, he's just minding his own business. And Ananias says, and the Lord shows up and says to him, I want you to go to a street called Straight, and I want you to go minister to Paul. And he says, excuse me, but Paul is this guy who's been putting people in prison. This is after Christians. And God said, yeah, and you're going to go to him. You're going to pray for him. And God spoke to him. And by revelation, he goes and prays for Paul. And Paul starts his great ministry. Cornelius is a man who is a Gentile. He's a Roman. And yet he hears God. And God says, I want you to go and send and get Peter to come here. By the way, he's in Joppa. He's at Simon the Tanner's house down by the sea. I mean, he was giving him a Google direction. You know where to go. I mean, he goes to Joppa. He goes down sea and starts asking for, where's Simon the Tanner? I mean, you know, he gave him direct GPS coordinates. And as he goes there, guess who's there? Peter. And right before he gets there, Peter has this vision of the sheet. And the Spirit of God says, go with Cornelius. So when the guys come in and say, hey, we need you to go, Peter says, okay. I mean, because God spoke. I mean, you understand? God's doing this all the time. This is normal in the days of the early church. People at the Church of Antioch, they gathered together. It seems good to us and the Holy Spirit to send forth Paul and Silas into missions. The first mission endeavor happened because the Spirit of God spoke into the hearts of people that were there. As Paul and Silas and Timothy are going out, they're planning, their plans were, seems good to us, man. We're looking at this, we've reasoned it out. We're going to go into Asia and share this thing. You know what happened? The Spirit of God said, no, I don't want you going there. I want you going over here instead. And the Spirit of God, after they'd already paid for their tickets and everything, now they're, I don't know what they did, but they had made plans, you know? Now they're heading back and they're going now in this direction that God had given them. Paul and his shipwreck, you remember that? Everybody else is freaking because they're in a hurricane. The ship's falling apart. Paul comes up and hangs on to what's left of the ship and just says, don't be scared. An angel just appeared to me from God. We're all going to be fine if nobody leaves the ship. And took control of that whole situation. The Apostle John gives us the entire book of Revelation because God spoke to him. That's what Revelation is. So, I mean, you understand people in the Scriptures had God speak to them a lot. Do you understand that? That was a normal thing. Let me ask you something. Did the Lord Jesus ever hear God speak to him? Do you remember what he would do in his life? I mean, Mark relates it to us several times. That very early in the morning, before anybody else is up, Jesus is off praying. And as he's praying, you know what he's getting? He says, I don't say anything that the Father doesn't tell me. You know what he's getting? He's getting what he's supposed to be doing. He's following, you know, he's just linking in with God, fellowshipping with Him. There's a time in the book of John where Jesus, it says, it's in John chapter 4, it says, and he, the old King James said, he must need to go to Samaria. Usually when you went on the road to go back up to Galilee from Jerusalem, you don't go through Samaria. I mean, that's the bad part of town. You don't go that way. You go around Samaria. There was a bypass already built. That's where everybody went. But instead of taking the bypass, Jesus, those of you who've gone to the beach understand this, right? He chose the slow way, you know, went right through the... And as he goes there, you know what he does? He meets a woman at the well. Remember her? And as he meets this woman at the well, a bad Samaritan, as he meets with her, he shares with her. She goes, tells other people what he had shared. They come. He spends 3 days there. And then they leave. You know what? When he leaves, you know what everybody says that's there? We have seen the Messiah. We have seen the Christ who's come into the world. They knew who Jesus was. They're the first people to know who Jesus was. And after he dies and is resurrected, Spirit of God's come on the church and they begin to move out. They go into Samaria. Hey, that's where Philip was having this massive revival taking place. You know why? Because they'd already been pre-evangelized by Jesus himself and they walk in. How did all that happen? Because the Father had given Jesus instructions on what he should do on that day, and he did it. The Spirit of God is actively involved in speaking. In fact, who can hear God speak? Well, in the book of John, chapter 16 and verse 8, the Scripture reads this way. And when He has come, He's speaking about the Holy Spirit. He will convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. You know who can hear God speak? In fact, if you haven't heard God speak, you're not a believer. Because God speaks to people, and that's how they come into the family of God. They become believers. Jesus said, no one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him. You know how the Father draws? He draws the Spirit speaking in people's hearts. And all of a sudden, they understand, as the Spirit of God works, that they're sinners. And they can't get out of it. You can't undo sin by doing good. You know, you can't go hurt somebody and then try and make it up by doing something good. That doesn't work. Because you did the hurt. You're always guilty. You've got to be forgiven by God. And so the Spirit of God works in their life. In fact, Jesus said this. He said, other sheep have I, which are not of this fold. He was speaking about the Jewish people. I love this verse. Them also I must bring, and they will hear my voice. I'm so glad that I heard God's voice one day speaking to me. I was a little boy. I was taken by my mom to a Good Friday service at the church that we went to. It's Lutheran church. And there were these stained glass windows. And as a little boy, I wouldn't know what the pastor's talking about, but I'd look at the stained glass windows. I mean, we had to sit in service. They didn't have children's church, so you sat in service. And I'd just look at the stained glass windows. And I remember the stories that were told in the stained glass windows. But this night, there was no light on the stained glass windows, needless to say, and it was dark. And the altar was covered in a black veil. The candles that were usually lit, speaking about Jesus being the light of the world, were not lit. The pastor came in, and usually he wore robes, but this night he wore just a black robe, just nothing else. Usually there was a lot of color and stuff, and nothing else. And he got up, and all he did that night was he didn't preach. He read from Isaiah chapter 53, and then he read a composite of the passion narrative from Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the story about Jesus' death. And that night, the Spirit of God spoke to my heart. And I remember going home as a little, and this is one of the thoughts, memories I have as a little kid, 6 years old, and crying myself to sleep that night because I understood Jesus died because of my sin. It was the Spirit of God who put that together for me. Because he wasn't reading a children's Bible. He was reading old King James stuff. You know, the these and the thou stuff. And a six-year-old had the Spirit of God work in him. God's Spirit speaks to us. Now, why should we want God to speak to us? Well, let me say one of the first reasons is for fellowship. That's why God designed it. He created Adam and Eve. You know what He created them for? For fellowship. He didn't create them because He needed to create them. God doesn't need anything. He's God. But He wanted to have fellowship. And so in order to have fellowship, He created Adam and Eve so they could commune with Him. And in fact, when they go and sin and run away from God, it says they hid. And the reason is because it says that they heard the sound of God walking in the garden. Now, what's the sound of God? They didn't hear His footsteps. They heard Him calling, "Hey, where are you guys?" And they knew God was there. And that happened over and over and over again. He created them for fellowship. In John chapter 17, Jesus says these words. This is in the prayer that He prays before He's taken at Gethsemane. This is what He prayed while He was at Gethsemane. "And this is eternal life, that they might know You, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom You have sent." That word "know," that means to know on an intimate level. To know personally, you know? I mean, all of us could probably pick out a picture. If I showed you a picture of the President of the United States, you could probably recognize Mr. Obama, right? You think so? Yeah. Do you know him? Well, you know him, but you don't know him. Do you think Michelle Obama has a better understanding of who he is than you do? I mean, she knows him, right? Well, you know what? God wants us to know Him in an intimate way. That we know Him like so really, really good. And so He made it so that we could communicate with each other. In fact, Jesus goes, and in Mark chapter 3, verse 14, Jesus is getting ready to pick His disciples. And He goes and He prays. And then when He picks them, it's really neat what it says. "Then He appointed 12 that they might," what? "Be with Him." Yeah, that's a big reason that he wanted them to be with Him. And then that He might send them to preach and to have power to heal sicknesses and cast out demons. So part of it is He wanted to be with them. And then after they were with Him, guess what came after that? Service. Ministry to other people. Because they had been with Him. And so the big thing that God wants us to do with this thing of hearing His voice is not just getting directions on what we should be doing that day as far as doing stuff. And that's fine. And I know He does that. He does that with me. He does that with you. And that's great. Glad we had that communication. But He wants it basically so we can fellowship with Him. And get to know how great He really is. You know, if you wanted to talk to the president or the governor or even the CEO of a corporation, you couldn't get in to see them today. You agree with that? But you can get in to the presence of the Creator of the universe, the one who is the greatest that has ever existed in the history of what we call history. And all you got to do is focus on Him. And immediately, you're in His presence. He wants you to have fellowship with Him. Now, He also wants to guide us into truth. The Spirit of God, we're told by Jesus in John 16, 13. "However, when He, the Spirit of truth, has come, He will guide you into all truth." We live in a world where there are a lot of lies. In fact, the father of lies has positioned himself against us. And he wants to throw a bunch of lies at us. And as I walk around in the world and talk with people, I find many people have been locked into the lies that Satan has given them. Even believers. Locked into the lies. Let me tell you one of the words that gives an understanding it's a lie. It's when you hear and you say, I can never do anything right. The problem is, it's ever. I always have this. The problem is the always. Sometimes it'd be accurate. But always is a lie. And there's so many lies that are around. Spirit of God, boy, He's around to help guide us into truth. And we need that so tremendously because there's so many things that can happen. I was at CompUSA one day. I taught there for 7 years along with pastoring here. And during that time, there was IBM had just come out with laptops. And this was a brand new thing. I mean, they cost $5,000 a piece. That's how long ago this was. Nobody had them. And the sales force that was going to be selling them came in for training on how you use a laptop. That's how long ago this was. I mean, I was teaching people how to use Google. I mean, so that just shows you how far off we were. But anyway, I'm teaching the classes, teaching all these things. And they came in, and they had this couple days of training. And then they left, and there were three laptops left in the room. And the three laptops stayed there. 1 month, they're still there. We were waiting for somebody to come get them. You know, they're 2 months, they're still there. We locked the rooms up, but all the instructors knew they were there. You know? And they're there. And I was there came the day when we had to strip the rooms out. They were going to change the carpet. So we had to undo all the computers and the monitors. And I was underneath one of the desks undoing the monitor. And all of a sudden, this thought came into my brain. I can steal a laptop. And nobody would know. Added, punctuated a little bit down in was also, and I'm a pastor and nobody suspect me. And in a moment I had the download of how to carry out the act. How I could get it out of the building and nobody would know. And so I finished turning the screw on that thing and all of a sudden another thought came to my mind. You shall not steal. Except this time it was, you shall not steal. And I went, whoa. And then another thought came to my mind. You shall not make any provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. And so I left. I hadn't finished unscrewing the thing. I just got up and went out and spoke to the registrar. Our manager was out of town. That was another reason for the pool. Our manager was out of town that day. He was down in Atlanta. And so I said to the registrar, I said, Carrie, I have three. You see how you wipe it out by listing the number. I have three laptops in my room. And she said, oh yeah, he just called from Atlanta and said that, tell Daryl he's got three laptops in his room and I want him to take them because I can trust him to do it. I want him to take them and he needs to go to the general manager, get this key, go in this room and set them in there. It was a setup. Do you understand that? That evil one intercepted my mind to pop in a thought that was built on a lie. You know what the lie is? You can have one of these things real fast. Well, you know what? That's what many of the temptations that God gives us are, to get things that eventually God will provide for us, but on our timetable. And so God, I mean, I have a laptop right here that I'm using. God's provided. But do you understand? We need the Spirit of God's work in our heart. And He's there. We also need Him for future expectations. The Scripture says not only will He guide us in truth. It says, for He will not speak of His own authority, but whatever He hears, He will speak, and He will tell you things to come. Wouldn't you like to know what's going to take place? I mean, it helps, right? Because in our natural, even the weathermen don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. Right? You agree with that? I mean, you know, they can give a guess, but sometimes it happens, sometimes it doesn't. They're getting better, but they still miss it. And so I thought it was interesting. There was a snowflake on one of the pictures that they had of what's coming up this week. Last week they had a snowflake for today. And yesterday was 80 degrees, or one day this week was 80 degrees almost. You know, it's just amazing how they don't know what's going to really take place. And we just go, well, God will help us with His future expectations. I was in Danville pastoring. And when I was there, there was this lady who was very ill. We had a lot of people in their older years. I'm there now, and so it doesn't really seem all that old. But when I was 25, it seemed pretty old. and they were having physical problems. And there's this one lady who went in the hospital, and she had cancer. And in those days, they didn't have a way to look inside of you without cutting you open. And so she was in for exploratory surgery, but they were pretty certain it was cancer. And they did the surgery on her, and it went real fast because all the surgeon did was look, and then he closed her back up. Because he said this cancer was one that had tentacles that wound around everywhere. And he said it's invaded organs, and it's wrapped all around, and there's nothing we can do. That's what he said when he came out and talked to the family. I was with him. So the family was there, her children, and they were all crying and upset. And I was asking the Lord, okay, Lord, how am I supposed to minister in this? Because I did 400 and plus funerals in Danville when I was there. And I had a lot of people dying, and I had to keep track of what's going on. I need to know, what do I need to do? How do I minister in this? And the Lord just dropped in my heart, she's not going to die now. And I went, okay. Does that mean she's not going to die today? Lord, is she going to die? When's she going to die? Is she going to die in the next week or so? He said, years. And I went, whoa. That's kind of interesting. When the doctor has pronounced her, I mean, they flew in her son from Germany, Red Cross did, to bring his grandson to see his grandma one last time before she died. I mean, that's how serious this was. The doctor put her in intensive care and said she may never get out of intensive care. Do you understand how serious this is? So I walked into her, and she was kind of groggy, and I spoke to her, and I went back the next day, and I said, how would you like me to pray for you? And she said, I don't want to die yet. There are things that I feel like I still need to do. Would you pray with me about that? Well, do you understand I had some faith to pray about that now? And so I prayed, Lord, would you just protect her and provide for her and bring healing to her? Well, what happened was, about 3 years later, the doctor who was the surgeon on her died. And finally, I did her funeral. It was 10 years later. It came from complications with her heart. It just stopped one day. Not cancer. Isn't that amazing? But you understand, that was very helpful to find out what's going to take place. Do you understand? God does that in helping us know about the future. Now, you know, that was the most unique one that's ever happened with me like that. But I thought it was great, and the Spirit of God did that for me. Well, also, the Spirit of God wants to communicate with us to give us knowledge. The Scripture says, grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Getting to know about Jesus. That's one of the reasons the Spirit of God wants to communicate with us, so that we might have life knowledge about Jesus. As His divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him who called us by glory and virtue. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 2 and 3. You see, it's the knowledge of Him that does everything in our lives. As we get to know Him, He changes us. You know, you can't change yourself. Have you found that out to be true? If you're locked into a sin pattern, have you found out you can't change it? You'll turn over new leaves, and then somebody walks away, and you'll turn the leaf back over and do the sin. And then you turn it over, I'll never do that again, and then you do it again, and you do it again, you do it again. You know what the key to getting that rid of that is? Having a relationship with Jesus Christ. Because as you can't save yourself, you need His grace and His working in your life to bring salvation. You can't sanctify yourself. That comes as you know Him. And one of the ways you get to know Him is by this intimate relationship that we have with the Holy Spirit. I had a problem. I came to know the Lord and really understood that as a teenager. But I got around some other guys. And you've got to watch the folks that you hang around with. Because as you're hanging around with people who are controlled by the evil one, and that's the focus of their life, those spirits begin to work with you. Paul talks, and we'll talk about this in the future, Paul talks about fellowship with demons. And when you hang out with folks that are involved in that, and I mean hang out, have relationship with, they're your good friends, then you're having fellowship with demons, and the demons begin to affect you. And I developed a bad habit of cussing, just using profanity all over the place. And that became a pattern of my life during my teenage years. And I would just drop out the profanity all the time. Now, I didn't do it at the house after the first time I did it because my dad got on me. So I learned that you could control it. When you're at home or in certain places, you don't use it. But the other places, you go ahead. Well, then I finally decided, I mean, I'm going to Bible college, so I figured it's probably not good to do it there, you know? And so I'm trying to cut this off. And I quite frankly, I was able to cut it off from saying things because I could practice that around the house. But how do you cut it off in here? How do you cut it off in your head? You know, Things happened. Boom, here's all these words. And I wouldn't say them, but they were there. Well, over the couple of years I was at Bible college, I really developed a much closer understanding and relationship with the Lord. He was speaking to my heart every day through the Scriptures, and we just had this thing going on where I was getting to know Him, and He was really, really getting to understand Him. And I was a junior in college, and I was working at a church with their youth, and I was in the building by myself that day, and an old metal chair. I had to get something from a high cabinet. And I went to get up on the chair, and as I did, my foot missed, and I hit my shin. All my weight of my shin went down on the chair. And it hurt really bad. And I heard these words come from my mouth. Oh, Lord, that hurts so bad. And it stopped. And it was still hurting. But what was amazing to me was what didn't come out. And what was not even in my head. Because that vocabulary that had been a part of me for so many years now had been washed out. With the Word of God and the ministry of the Spirit of God, it was gone from my life. And thank the Lord, that's just not part of my thought processes. I mean, I hear it. How can you not hear the stuff as you're walking around in the world, right? But it's not part of me. And I thank the Lord for that. But He's the one who did that. I couldn't do that. Not on the inside. Now, why do people not hear from God? Well, let me give you a couple of reasons I think they don't hear from God. First of all, there are a lot of people that really don't think God can speak to them. And if you think He won't, then He won't. I mean, if you're dead set, God doesn't do that anymore. That was maybe true in the days of the Bible, but it's not true in the days of today. And I would like to ask you, what changed? People say, well, we got the Bible. Well, they had the Bible in their day. I mean, Peter talks about the Scriptures as he refers to Paul's writings. It's not like they didn't have it, and we hadn't changed. It's just the same way. God's still working. God will speak. My sheep do what? That's what Jesus said. The doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear His voice, and He calls His own sheep by name and leads them out. And when He brings out His own sheep, He goes before them. And the sheep follow Him because they know His voice. And we just need to understand, He's speaking to us. If you don't know His voice, that's one thing, but He's speaking. And we want to help you understand how you can do that. That's normal Christianity, is God speaking in your heart. My sheep hear My voice. Here's this word again. And I know them. He knows everything about you. And they follow Me. Jesus said, if you want to follow Me, you deny yourself, you take up your cross, and you follow Me. How do we follow Him? Well, He speaks to us and we follow. That's what He says. Now, of course, He's spoken to us in the Scriptures. We're going to talk about that next week. This is a marvelous tool that God's given us, the Scriptures. And many times He'll speak to me through the Scriptures. I'm reading a Scripture and He'll speak in my heart as I'm reading the Scriptures. And that's where it happens a lot. When I'm out, though, sometimes He'll speak to me about situations I'm encountering at the time. And He'll give me things that I'm supposed to do and how I'm supposed to handle those situations. And sometimes I have to ask for that. I'm working with people and I'm, Lord, I don't know what to do here. And that's all the time. I don't know what to do. But I found this great king in the Bible who prayed a prayer that I pray all the time. It's this. Lord, we don't know what to do, but our eyes are on You. And that's the way to live life. Not knowing. If you think you know, you're going to do something that it won't be right. You need to trust God. The second thing is, we're not sensitive to the Spirit of God. And it's one of the reasons that people don't hear from God, is they're not sensitive to the Spirit of God. They see things in the natural world, and the things in the natural world become more important than the spiritual things in their life. And that happens with Christians. Paul writes to the Corinthians in the first letter in the second chapter, verse 14. But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them because they're not spiritually discerned. Sometimes Christians act like carnal men. They act like people who are not walking, because their lives are just like the rest of the people in the world. And in fact, we know that, right? I mean, the divorce rate is the same for Christians as it is for non-Christians. Christians in churches all over the place are hooking up, sleeping together. I mean, that's not God's way, but people are doing it. And no wonder they can't hear from God. They're acting just like the world. They don't focus on the things of the Spirit. They're focusing on things of the world. And their lives get wrecked. That's the problem with it. You know why God says don't have sex with other people? Because it's going to mess you up. That's why. You know why God says don't steal? He doesn't want you doing time. I mean, He cares for us. He loves us. That's the reason He does these things. And some people just aren't sensitive because they've shut themselves down. In Jesus' day, you had people that were around the Scriptures all the time, and Jesus said, for the hearts of this people have grown dull. Their ears are hard of hearing. Their eyes, they have closed. They don't want it. Because you know what happens when you start hearing God? Sometimes He'll say to you, we need to talk about this issue. I don't want to hear that. When you do that, we'll talk about what happens in a couple of weeks, but that sears you to where you can't hear from God. And another reason they don't hear from God is because of this. There's this great passage from Jeremiah. You maybe know this verse. For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, says the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not evil, to give you a future and a hope. You know that verse? Jeremiah 29:11. Well, as you keep on reading, this was what else he says. Then you will call upon me and go and pray to me, and I will listen to you. That's verse 12. Here's verse 13 and 14. And you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. I will be found of you, says the Lord. See, some people aren't some people are not seeking the Lord with their whole heart. It's half-hearted. It's, okay, I'll do the things that I want to do, but I don't want to do the things that you want me to do. And God's just not going to play games. I mean, He doesn't do that. And so if you're not seeking with your whole heart, then, you know, in the Old Testament, there's this phrase that comes up a lot. It does in the New Testament. You don't see it as strong. In the Old Testament, God speaks and they'll say, Moses, and He says, here am I. Samuel, here am I. You know what? The phrase from the Hebrew is simply, here am I. It's hineni, one word in Hebrew. But it carries, it implies within it, here I am, ready to serve you. What do you want me to do? The way we Americans, we're so individualistic, the way we approach it is, Lord, I'm here. Now, tell me what you want. If I like it, I'll do it. A double-minded person's unstable in all their ways. If you're not flat out for God, you won't hear. I mean, sorry, it just doesn't happen. It's muffled. And it isn't God's problem. It's your problem. I mean, if you have a television set and all you got snow going on, and you get upset. Sometimes it's because you don't have it on a channel. If you're off God's channel, it's just, I'm sorry, you won't hear. You've got to be seeking God with your whole heart. So people don't hear because they don't think God's speaking. They're not sensitive to the Spirit of God. They're not seeking the Lord with all their heart. They're double-minded. Sure. Go ahead. Come up and ask the question. Yeah.
So,
how do you know you're doing that?
Yeah.
That's a good question. It's your desire to go and just, I mean, you it's more of the results of what happens. So you read in the Scripture and He says, do this. And Layla's having to pray for people who are enemies, position themselves as enemies. If you don't do that, when God says to do that, you know you're not seeking Him with your whole heart. The proof's in the pudding. I mean, it's what you do. That's how you can tell. So, you know, if you need somebody else to investigate, I ask people when they ask me that question, what's the last thing the Lord told you to do? Have you done it? No. Well, why not? Well, I don't want to. Okay. You're not seeking with your whole heart. I mean, it's kind of a simple thing, you know. Now, do we fail in that? Yeah, I mean, I fail. Sorry. But, you know, when I fail, then I come back and I say, Lord, I blew that, and I acknowledge that I blew that, and I'm sorry that I blew that. By Your grace, would You empower me that I might not? And all of a sudden, you know what happened? Situation come around where I get a chance to do it again. And all of a sudden, I get a chance to either walk in it or not. And, you know, he wants us to do well. And then the last thing is, you got to be quiet. You got to just shut the stuff that's in our world off. We got music. Some people walk around with music all the time. You know, some people, they're looking on their phones, you know, just always texting. I'm not against texting. It's okay. But when that's your life, I was walking in the mall, Four Seasons Mall, with Cindy. We were going to a store. And as we're walking, a guy would have walked right into me. We would have collided because he wasn't watching. He was just, his whole life was just doing this. And I got to tell you, if that's all your life is, you're not going to hear from God. Because God doesn't break through with loud mega voices. Oh, Bill, I want you to do this. If God ever says that, then I got to tell you something. You've got a major task that you're coming to. Some people say, I want God to speak so I can hear Him. And I'm going, I don't really want to have that. I mean, if He does that, then that's okay. That means He's got something for me to do that's going to take tremendous amount of faith and strength to accomplish. I mean, He spoke to Moses at the burning bush. Was that a pretty good task to take? Go talk to the ruler of the world and tell him to let my people get out of here. That's a pretty heavy thing. I mean, God spoke to Samuel. You remember that? When he's a little boy, he's probably six or so, and he's got to go tell Eli, you blew it, God says, and because you blew it, your sons are going to die. I mean, that's a rather heavy message to have to tell. You know, but God spoke to him so he could hear him, no question. So we got to quiet ourselves. We have to get away from television. We have to get away from music. I got to tell you, even Christian music. That's good. It ought to be going on. That's fine. But if you've got that going on, you're not going to be able to, you're going to be thinking of all those words. You need to get away. Let God speak to your heart. Now, how can you do that? Well, Jesus talked about going in the closet. When he was saying, you know, and that doesn't mean you go in your closet at your house. That means you just get away from all the stuff. Unplug, sit down, get a place where you can do that and spend some time with God. God, in Psalm 46, God challenges the people, be still and know that I'm God. And that's amidst of a war setting taking place. Just be still. And know that I am God. Isaiah says, those that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. And that waiting is just you're quiet and you wait. Oh, man, I've been sitting here for 5 minutes. I don't have anything. I'm going to go. I mean, God doesn't necessarily meet on your timetable. And if you have to go after 5 minutes, then go. That's all right. I mean, I'm not saying that you got to stay there for days and days and days. But there needs to be time in your life where you take off. And if you do that, God's going to most of the time just start speaking to you. It'll be simple. Now, how does He do that? We're going to talk about that in days ahead, because He speaks to you by thoughts and by impressions. And we're going to be talking about those and go into more detail. But He'll give you a thought that you're not thinking. And that's how God speaks. That's how really I know that God's doing it in me, because I'm not thinking that. I was at cell meeting one night, and we were praying for Janice Smith as she was going through the treatments. And we were praying about that, and she said, I'm having some problems with this. And so we said, okay, we'll be praying about that. And as she said that, all of a sudden, the Lord brought a thought to my mind. I wasn't thinking this. I was just in with the group. You know, okay, we're here, we're going to pray for her. All of a sudden, a thought came into my mind. Tell her about this. And so all of a sudden, I just said, Janice, I really think the Lord maybe impressed me that I was supposed to say this to you. And then she said, oh, we have some of that here at the house. I can do that. And I just went, well, that's the Lord doing that. I wasn't thinking about that. He just brought that in. That's one of the ways that you know that it's God. He'll just bring up stuff. And so if you draw near to Him, I got to tell you, He says this, if you draw near to me, I'll draw near to you. That's His promise. And He doesn't lie. If you go to Him, He'll work with you. So, those are the reasons I find that people don't hear from God, because they don't think He's speaking. They are not sensitive to the Spirit of God. They are not seeking Him with their whole heart. They're half-hearted, and because they're not getting quiet so they can focus on Him. It's fine if you want to use Christian music to get your thoughts on Him, but then cut it off so that you can hear Him speak, and because He wants to talk to your heart. You can hear from God, because Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice. You can be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. For the Scriptures say, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. God leads us. That's what His plan is, to lead us in everything. And so we've got to be sensitive to Him. He says that if we seek Him, we'll find Him. If we are seeking Him with our whole heart. That means we're all the time aware of the fact that He's around. See, one of the problems that's happened in our society is people split their lives into two areas. One is the religious area and the other one's life. And that was never meant to be. God didn't mean that dichotomy to take place. He meant for us to walk every moment of every day with Him in mind. That doesn't mean you have to be thinking about Him all the time where you can't do your work, because you got to do your work. I understand that. But as you're doing your work, before you get started in your work, you ought to pray, Lord, help me in doing this. I'm getting ready to step into the office. I'm getting ready to step into this task today. Would you help me to do this? I took Greek and Hebrew as languages during the same semester, introduction to Greek and Hebrew. I have trouble with English, and I'm trying to learn two foreign languages, one that looks like scratching taking place, that you read backwards. You read from right side of the page to the left, and you just beginning of the book is in the wrong place. Genesis is in the wrong place, in the back of the book. And I'm having to learn these languages. And I didn't know, I couldn't do it. And so I said, Lord, I need help. And I passed. Not only passed, I made B's. God help me taking those. Why? Well, He knows the languages and He can help. But we have to come before Him. So it's having Him as part of our life, because God wants to be part of our life. We're led by Him. So if we seek Him, then He'll work in our lives. And we need to take time to be quiet, to hear from God. God will give you these thoughts. God will give you these impressions. God will sometimes bring Scripture to your mind. I remember one group, I think, Mark, you might have been in this group, where I was talking to Paul and one day, and Mark went to a small group with young people, and Paul was there. There comes a time when young people need to have somebody who's not their parent who they can hang out with, who's older than they are, who can give them information, usually the same information a parent would, but they can receive it a whole lot easier from that person. And so Paul, Job became that for Mark and Tanya. And Paul one day had them together, and they were asking the Lord about things. And one of the young people said, is there a book in the Bible called Thessalonians? And they said, well, it's Thessalonians. And it was, and I think we're supposed to go to chapter 2 and verse something of 2 Thessalonians. And went to that verse, and it dealt right with what they were talking about. God sometimes just puts thoughts in your mind. And He does that. So it's kind of neat. All right. Now we're going to get ready to an activity. You ready? We have these. And so it's going to be a lot of fun. What I want you to do is I want you to get with somebody today. And I'd like it to not be your husband or wife, but somebody different. And I'd like you to do these two things. First, I want you to thank God that He's going to speak to your partner. Then I want you to ask God to tune the heart of your partner so they will seek Him fully. That there'll be a whole heart, that will be something that God works. And I don't want you to quiet your hearts before the Lord. I just want you to focus on Jesus on the cross, maybe even just see that picture in your mind. And then ask the Lord, what is one element of what You provided on the cross that I can bless this person with? You understand? You're going to just, what is one element about the cross? And ask the Lord just to bring one of the thoughts about something the cross provided to your mind. Okay? Very simple. Not hard. Okay? Young people, you need to go in the back with Mark. The rest of us, grab each other. Okay? Let's go. Chop, chop. Cutting in on anybody praying, but I need to ask you to come on back here with me, and because I want to give you a homework assignment. Now, I'd really like for you to do this, and this is the reason. Because the Scriptures are very important for us hearing God. That God's never going to tell you to do something that the Scriptures would go against. God's not that way. And so one of the ways that He speaks to me the most is when I'm reading the Scriptures. So I would like for you to read. I'd like you to take 3 days, and on those 3 days, one a day, I'd like you to read Psalm 22, Psalm 23, and Psalm 24. One a day. I'd like you just to read them. They're not long psalms. And read the Psalms, and as you're reading it, before you read it, say, Lord, would You please speak to me through this passage of Scripture? And ask Him to cause one of the verses just to really stand out to you. And as you read it, what will happen is you'll get one verse, well, that's a great verse. And go back and just read it again, and ask Him how you can apply that to your life. And how does that fit you? And ask Him how you can apply it. I'm not looking for you to give me a diagram of the passage. I'm not looking for you to give me what you observed. I'm looking for you to give me what God spoke to you. Does that make sense? How He showed me that I can apply this way. Or this means this because He spoke this, and that's what I can do. So we're not asking you to give us what it means. The Scripture means what it says, but it has an application to you. So you're asking God for the application. That's what we're doing. So I need you doing that. And I want you to write it down, because if you don't write it down, you'll forget it. How do I know? I've been there. So write it down. And then you can have it, and you'll see all the times that God speaks to you. So write that down. Next week I'll ask several of you to just share about that, and volunteers will get to share that, and we'll do that. Next week we're going to talk about how can you know when it's God and when it's not God. How do you know that? So that's what we're going to talk about next week, okay? Actually, the next 2 weeks we'll be on that. So may I bless you out, and then we'll be gone. Okay. Thank you, Lord, that you chose to make us people who could have relationship with you. And we thank you that you make it so that that relationship is not just us talking to you all the time, but you talk to us. Thank you for the Spirit of God who bears witness with our spirit that we're your children. Thank you for your Spirit who leads us. Thank you for working in us by leading us into paths of righteousness, that your name might be praised. I thank you for all these folks, Lord. Would you just help them to where they understand when you're speaking, and that becomes very clear to their thinking. Thank you for blessing them. Thank you for showing them yourself. We love you and we praise you, Lord, for all you've done for us. In Jesus' name, amen. Thanks so much. 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 Thanks so much.